This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Jennifer Ludden in Washington. Neil Conan is away. America is more conservative than it was a year ago. That's what a new Gallup poll says. The poll found that Americans are moving to the right on issues from government regulation to immigration to abortion. The percentage of Americans who believe that government regulations of firearms should stay the same or become less strict is at a record high. GOP victories in Virginia and New Jersey earlier this week seem to support the study's conclusion that Americans are more conservative. But some analysts say that while there is an ideological shift in America, it's not necessarily a swing to the right. Later in the hour, we'll celebrate the birth of the Internet 40 years ago last week with a look at emoticons. But first, conservative America. We want to hear from independents and conservatives in our audience. Why do you call yourself conservative? Does it come down to your stance on a particular issue? Is there some broader ideological reason? Call us here in Washington. Our number is 800-989-8255. Our email address is talk@npr.org. And you can also join the conversation at our website. Go to npr.org and click on Talk of the Nation. Ron Elving, NPR's senior Washington editor, is joining us here in Studio 3A. Welcome, Ron.
Good to be with you, Jennifer.
So, Ron, is America becoming more conservative?
America is expressing a more conservative mood. I don't think there's any question about that. But I think this can be easily overstated if you don't look at the numbers themselves and if you don't look at the numbers over a bit of a stretch of time. For example, 2008, in November, approximately 1 year ago, when we had the election that elected Barack Obama president, the numbers in this poll were essentially 37% conservative, 37% moderate, and 22% liberal. That was the Gallup poll. And now just in the past week or so, we've seen the Gallup poll ask those same questions again, as they've been doing for about 20 years. Rather large sample, rolling sample through the year. And the numbers had moved 1 point with respect to moderates and up 3 points among conservatives, which I don't think is terribly hard to credit if you've been watching the country over the last year, if you consider what the mood of the country was last fall and what you consider the mood to be today. The country was unhappy a year ago. It's unhappy today. And, of course, the administration has changed, so people are pushing back against the administration, and that means pushing back from the right.
Now, didn't the poll find this movement, the 3-point bump in conservatives, where's that coming from?
It's coming from people who consider themselves independent voters in the main and a few conservatives who consider themselves Republicans. That is to say, a few people who are consider themselves Republicans and went from considering themselves moderate Republicans to considering themselves conservative Republicans. The number among liberals, among people who are independent or moderate and shifted into or away from the liberal column was 2 points.
Okay, so you're not bowled over by this, but, you know, it's very interesting that when you look at issues, specific issues, the numbers did go up, you know, it looks substantially, you know, several percentage points, 5-6 percentage points, more people favoring a decrease in immigration, more Americans considering themselves pro-life, you know, pro-gun control, or less gun control or keep it as it is. What does that mean?
I think that there was a great deal of concern last winter on the part of gun rights advocates, Second Amendment advocates, that there was going to be a major move made against gun rights in America. And in fact, what we have seen in the last year is a continuation of a long-time trend, really since the year 2000, that Congress has moved to bolster gun owners' rights and away from gun control. That was going on through all the Bush years. It continued after the Democrats took over the Congress in 2006. And, for example, in recent months, we've seen the Congress liberalize the freedom to carry firearms in national parks. That's been the biggest change that's been made with respect to gun owners' rights. But there was a tremendous publicity and campaign conducted last winter to suggest to people that their guns were in some sense or another under threat. A lot of people went out and bought guns. Sales were reaching all-time highs last winter. And that energy has continued, and people have felt that in some sense their rights are threatened, although it would appear, at least from the facts, that there's more threat in some of the campaigns that they're listening to than there actually is from Congress, where there seems to be no impulse toward gun control at all.
Okay. Now, this week we had elections. The big headline grabbers were governorships in Virginia and New Jersey, and it seemed a good day for Republicans. I mean, is this something that you see as bolstering the poll here, or is this a different story?
Well, I think they're both part of the same story. To a large degree, a country that remains unhappy, much as it has been in the last several years, has a new government to be unhappy with. Now, the name you never heard mentioned on Tuesday, sensibly enough, was George W. Bush. George W. Bush has largely disappeared from the American political discourse. He's kept a very low profile, and there's nothing to push back against in a presidency that's now a year in memory, or almost a year in memory. So now, if you are unemployed, or if you're worried about unemployment, and the country's unemployment rate continues to rise, and if you're worried about economic uncertainty, and people haven't forgotten the near collapse of our financial system a little over a year ago, and if you're just troubled by the entire change dynamic, whether it's technological or economic or social, you see everything seemingly changing. You notice that the workplace has reached the point where half the people who have jobs in America are women. That's quite different from 30, 40, 50 years ago, where some of the main issues on the ballot are the permission of gay marriage. These are not the issues of 30, 40 years ago. This represents considerable social change, and many people are discomforted by it, or they are downright against it, and they are energized in this era, not only by people who make it their business to energize them, but by the political dynamics of the day.
Let's bring another voice into the conversation. David Weigel is a reporter for the Washington Independent. He covers the conservative movement and the Republican Party. And today he joins us from the studios of member station WXXI in Rochester, New York. Welcome to you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So do you believe America is becoming more conservative?
I think America is becoming more populist, and right now, because Democrats own every lever of the federal government, except for the courts, I suppose, it's a reaction again. There's a bit of a reaction against what's perceived as liberalism. That poll we saw, I mean, I think that reflects the way Americans have felt about these issues for a very long time. But otherwise, I don't think you've seen much of a movement towards what, in our, you know, our political context, we call conservatism. You've seen anti-corporate populism. I think if you walk around at a Tea Party event or talk to people who are angry at a town hall, they'll have complaints about how much money is being shoveled over to banks and to corporations and the car companies, and how they want to keep their health care, including their Medicare. Neither of those are conservatism in the Barry Goldwater, Ronald Reagan sense.
So you call it populism.
I think so, and I'm in New York now because I was at I was covering this election upstate, the New York 23 special election,
right,
which was a three-way battle between a Democrat, a liberal Republican, and a conservative party candidate, and the National Republican Party pushed the liberal candidate out of the race, so it was down to a Democrat, down to a conservative party candidate, whose message was actually all about bring jobs to the district, giving the fort whatever it needed, getting government off our back. But nothing really, not so much, you know, he talked about less debt, but that's something Ross Perot talked about, and I think it's tough to pin him down as a conservative. And in the end, this is a district that has not gone to Democrat since, I want to get the president, I think, yes, it was Ulysses Grant was president. That's the last
time
you had a guy with a D behind his name. And Democrats, with a huge swing, picked up the district. Now, the Democrat talked about jobs. The conservative talked about jobs. They weren't talking about so much about ideology. They weren't talking about social issues in any real sense. So that's what I see. I see economic angst manifesting as a populist backlash. And in some places, that's going to be against Republicans, some places against Democrats.
And when you look at this Gallup poll with people, more likely to be anti-abortion and less for gun control and more for keeping out immigrants and so forth, I mean, how do you read that?
Oh, I think that's economic angst. I mean, this is all very connected to the country being not just in a recession since last year, but being in a period of increasing discrepancy in wages, gap between the rich and the poor, wages being pretty flat even during the GDP growth of the Bush years. I mean, you've had alienation, economic alienation for a long time, and that meant, I mean, it's very easy to see the links between economic alienation and worry about jobs and an increase in anti-immigration sentiment. That rhetoric is always tied together. It was tied together when Pat Buchanan ran for president, both times he ran as a Republican, that was the tie he made. It's actually been off the back burner now just because it's so you know, for all of those anti-immigration sentiments, it's been a terrible issue for Republicans. Mm-hmm. Republicans have been wiped out in the Southwest and in parts of Texas. I mean, I think almost every part of the border, congressional districts on the border of Mexico, is represented by a Democrat now. So it's not something when you put the pedal to it, voters stick to. It's just that they want to have a little bit of security back and for the economy to be going again, for them to be able to find a job that lasts.
Ron Elving, what about this less maybe ideological shift that it's really economic distress we're seeing?
I believe that. I also believe in what David was saying regarding populism. I think there is a great rejection of Washingtonism, if you will, the sense that the federal government is going to hold your fate in its hands in one way or another. Some people want to have the government do more, quote unquote, the government. People are generally uneasy about the prospect, though, of some kind of federal centralized government taking over things. So anytime you use a verb construction like should the government take over something, that's going to be received very negatively. And I don't think that's a huge change from the way America has been for a very long time. But right now, the way the issues are being framed, as David says, is by the Democratic Party and to some degree by its more liberal elements. People are seeing in this Gallup poll Barack Obama governing more as a liberal than a moderate. Many of them are unhappy about that. That's part of the shift to feeling more conservative. And many people feel that the Democrats who run Congress, Nancy Pelosi, some of the Democrats in the Senate, are too liberal, and so they're reacting against that.
Right, we're talking about conservatives this hour. Why do you call yourself conservative? Is it about your stance on issues or a broader ideological reason or the economy? We're taking your calls at 800-989-8255. Email us at talk@npr.org. I'm Jennifer Ludden. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Jennifer Ludden in Washington. After Republican gubernatorial wins in New Jersey and Virginia and a Gallup poll suggesting more Americans identify themselves as conservatives, is there a sea change? We're talking with NPR's senior Washington editor, Ron Elving, and with David Weigel. He's a reporter for the Washington Independent. We also want to hear from you, conservatives, independents. What do you call yourself and why? Does it come down to your stance on an issue or a broader ideological reason? Give us a call at 800-989-8255 or email us at talk@npr.org. And you can join the conversation at our website. Go to npr.org and click on Talk of the Nation. Let's get a call from a listener here. Lauren is in West Bloomfield, Michigan. Hi, Lauren.
Good afternoon.
What's on your mind?
Well, I think that right now we need to clarify what conservative means. In my opinion, whether the government's local or the national government, I believe that government, when it's conservative, is doing less or just doing basic things like the defense and infrastructure and protecting our citizens. And I think when the government gets too involved in businesses and pushes back too far in the other direction is when conservatism becomes something that everyone says that they are.
So, do you think of yourself as a conservative now?
Well, I'm more of an independent, but I do lean conservative. I don't think the government should be doing as much as it's doing right now.
So, are you talking about like the stimulus bill or propping up Wall Street? What's concerning you?
The stimulus bill and propping up Wall Street. The stimulus, they went very much too far in a direction that I don't consider conservative at all. And it started with Bush, and I don't think it was very conservative of the Bush administration to get involved in a war that I don't see any justification for. I mean, that seems like extremism to me and a huge waste of the taxpayers' money.
So, Ron Elving, Lauren is suggesting it's really kind of semantics, and the meaning of conservative really switches with the times.
We do have a problem with whether we're capitalizing conservative and talking about some kind of an ideology, or whether we're just talking about the adjective, to be conservative, to be cautious, perhaps, to be careful, to conserve what the past has given us, what the traditional values of our country are. I think a lot of people...
Hasn't conservatism in government been represented by leaders that don't do more than they should, don't get involved in our bedrooms and in our things that they don't belong involved in.
Lauren, may I ask, how do you feel about the word libertarian? Some people would say what you're describing is a more libertarian kind of attitude.
Well, perhaps it is. Perhaps it is. But, you know, I guess it's kind of hard to peg someone like me. I like some aspects of conservatism, libertarianism, and that's what probably makes me an independent.
Okay, Lauren, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
We have an email here from Steve in Beaver Dam, Arizona. He says, you've got the paradigm backwards. The country's not moving rightward. If anything, it's moving leftward. The Virginia voting results illustrate this clearly. The reason the Republican won in that race is because young people, minorities, and liberals, greatly disappointed by the unmet promises of change under Barack Obama, failed to show up to vote in droves. The disappointed Democratic base didn't show up, but the Republicans did in ordinary numbers, and thus the Republican won. If the Democrats continue to ignore their base, they're taking the wrong lesson and do so at their own peril. David Weigel, what do you make of that?
I think there's a lot to that. Cree Deeds, who's the Democrat who just got walloped in that election, was the more conservative of the three Democrats who went for the nomination. And it seemed as though the campaign made a decision that because it would be hard to get these Obama voters to turn out, they were going to go after more conservative voters. And as I think we can all agree, it failed. But the Republican who won, Bob McDonnell, is very conservative, and the one time he dipped in the polls is when it was pointed out he wrote a graduate thesis when he was in his 30s. He went back to Pat Robertson's law school to write this, with extremely conservative views on gays, on the role of women, on marriage, things like that. He dipped a bit. He responded just with a campaign of how to bring jobs to the area, building transportation up in Northern Virginia, and building transportation. I think the last caller might say that's one of the things government shouldn't be obsessing over, where to build trains and where to open up highways. But that's what this Republican was saying. So I think Virginia has been a tough nut to crack for Republicans the last few years. They cracked it not by talking about conservatism, just by talking about getting government running. Liberals blew it by not talking to their base. I think there's a lot there.
Ron Elving.
I think President Obama has disappointed many liberals, but if you look at the numbers, and polls, of course, are always suspect. It's only one way of measuring how the public feels. But if you look at the polls from the people who voted on Tuesday, and if you look at the Gallup and some of the other large polls, they seem to show more people are surprised and disappointed that Barack Obama is not more moderate or more centrist. They think he has moved to the left. Now, of course, people on the left do not feel that way. But people who are more in the middle, or people who lean conservative but voted for Obama, and there were people who did that, those people are seeing him as moving in the opposite direction.
And this is probably what the Gallup poll picked up on, that group of people right there.
Very much so. That's a very big part of this Gallup poll.
All right. Well, David Weigel, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
David Weigel, a reporter for the Washington Independent. He follows Republican politics and joined us from member station WXXI in Rochester, New York. Let's take another phone call from a listener. Casey is in Oakland, California. Hi, Casey.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Tell us what your question is.
Well, I guess I have more of a statement than a question, but...
All right.
What changed me to become an active conservative, if you want to call it that, or libertarian, if you want to call it that, was Ron Paul's actual campaign made me... cured my apathy, so to speak, and got me interested in all of that. And I think that's what a large portion of the conservative movement, that's kind of what started the Tea Party movement, and it has moved to some degree away from that. And if you go on the GOP's own website, the Ron Paul Forum is the largest forum on there with like 400 members last time I checked.
Mm-hmm. I just don't hear that mentioned a lot. And I think that in that, we will not support just Republican candidates. We're looking for candidates with real conservative values.
So were you hoping that the conservative candidate in that upstate New York district would have won this past Tuesday then? Were you disappointed when he did not?
I'm not as familiar with that campaign, but I am familiar with Peter Schiff and Ron Paul's Senate campaigns are both doing incredibly well. And Ron Paul's son, has out-fundraised the incumbent Republican to date. I think his name is Trey Grayson.
All right. Well, Casey, thank you so much for calling.
You're welcome.
Let's get one more caller in before moving on. We've got David in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Hi, David.
Hi. You know, one of your guests started to touch on something, one of the callers, and that is to differentiate between the types of conservatives. I'm a registered independent and have been for about 8 years. And, of course, my gripe with the Republican parties, they're too exclusive, and my gripe with the Democratic Party is they're too inclusive, trying to include too many people. But the way I describe myself is as a social conservative, but I'm very progressive on a lot of other issues. I find myself at odds with a lot of my, I'm a born again Christian, a lot of my Christian conservative friends when it comes to a lot of other issues besides the social issues. And I don't think I'm the only one. I was really encouraged to hear that there were more registered independents last election than Republicans. Is that true? And why do we not differentiate between the types of conservatives? We have, I mean, there are neocons, there are fiscal conservatives, there are,
right.
And some of them overlap, I understand.
Well, David, I'm curious, have you shifted in the past year now? We're talking, you know, in the past year, have you felt differently about some issues and maybe kind of weighed in differently than you did a year ago?
Well, here's a perfect example, and that was with fiscal responsibility. I believe that when we're in the kind of situation we're in economically, that it is up to the government to get the economy going. And when the economy does get going and people are capable of saving, then they're the ones that should be saving and not spending, and the government should cut back on its spending when the economy is going better.
All right. David, thanks for calling.
Okay, you bet.
Let's bring in another perspective now. We have Sophia Nelson on the phone. She's a political analyst and blogger. She contributes to TheRoot.com and BET, and she's joining us from her home in Virginia. Hi, Sophia.
Hi, how are you today?
Good. What do you see happening in conservative America these days?
Are you asking me conservative America or conservative politics? Because I think those are different.
Okay, we'll start with one and tell us.
Well, for example, when I think of conservative America, if you will, I think of the teabaggers, and I think of people protesting against health care because they don't agree with the government coming in to have a public option, et cetera, et cetera, or they feel like they're being taxed too much, the deficits are out of control. I see that as fundamental conservative values, core values, if you will. And if I go into conservative politics, I think of the race in New York in the 23rd district where the conservative candidate there was able to gain a lot of ground in less than 30 days and be able to effectively take the moderate Republican out of the running. She got a lot of pressure. Sarah Palin was there. Others were there campaigning for him. And, you know, you saw the result, which I think is an interesting one.
The person lost.
Yeah, first Democrat in 100 years, I think it was, or something like that, if I have my facts straight. So, interesting.
So they overshot. What lesson do you think they're going to take out of that, though?
Well, I think frankly, the New York race is an anomaly. I'm not sure you can read a whole lot into that, other than it was a Republican district. Ms. Scozzafava, I think, was not a great candidate. You never drop out when you're a few days away from the general election when you're the standard bearer of one of the two parties. That's kind of crazy. And no matter what the pressure, she should have stayed in the race. And I think the result would have been the same ultimately. but I think that that's not a race I would look at a whole lot. The races I'm interested in and intrigued by are the ones here in Virginia and in New Jersey, because Bob McDonald is about as conservative as it gets.
And he's the Republican candidate who's now going to be governor of Virginia.
Right, and he did not run as a conservative, though, at all. He did not talk about social issues. He didn't talk about being opposed to gay marriage. He didn't talk about being pro-life. He didn't talk about guns. He didn't talk about any of those social issues that tend to be hot-button issues. And he ran instead as a fiscal conservative who was going to bring jobs, lessen taxes, get government off your back, all things that people feel very good about when an economy's in free fall and people are losing jobs and homes, et cetera. They want to talk pocketbook issues and transportation. So I think that McDonald figured out very early on that he needed to go to the center in order to win Virginia back, and he really walloped Deeds. I mean, something like 16 points. It was huge.
Right.
Blowout. And same in New Jersey. Chris Christie was a moderate, and only moderates win in New Jersey. You have Tom Kane and Christy Todd Whitman, who I worked for, as two examples of Republicans that win in that state. Conservative Republicans do not win in that state. They just don't. Too many independents, too many moderate voters.
So Rod Elving, I guess Sophia says, you know, Republican Party shouldn't feel overly optimistic about this week's elections.
Oh, I think that she sees the optimistic side of what Republicans should see in what happened on Tuesday, which is that the very conservative candidate, the very conservative viewpoint on all issues across the board can prevail if it is carefully presented, if it's marketed correctly, if it's run to the center, or if it's run to wherever that state lives. Now, Virginia has moved from being a red state to being a purple state, with several races in a row having gone Democratic. We've probably reached a natural extent of that particular trend, and we're probably going to see a little bit more of a Republican period in Virginia for at least a little while, and then we'll see how people feel about that after a few years and whether that holds up. But I think her remarks about New Jersey are exactly correct. That's what wins there, especially if you've got a governor who is personally unpopular, under 40% approval, has 10% unemployment, the highest property tax rates in the country, and bad corruption.
Oh, yeah, there was all that.
You know, this reminds me of 1993 all over again. And I was in law school at the time, and Haley Barbour was chairman of the RNC, and I was interning there. And I remember 93, and I remember when Christy Todd Whitman ran, and you remember she almost defeated Bill Bradley in 90, and then she rode out the anti-tax Florio sentiment for 3 years to take her to the governorship. That's how angry people were about what was going on in the Florio administration. And then here in Virginia, George Allen won in a resounding victory, and he was not at all supposed to win that race. Mary Sue Terry, I think, was his opponent, and the Democrats were, you know, had a lock on the governorships here, and you know, George Allen broke it wide open. And I think that the danger for the Democratic Party is they honestly have to stop being on the defense and take a hard look at this. While I agree these are local races, what both Republican candidates did was they figured out the center and the independents were the place to be. I don't know if polling told them. I don't know if common sense told them. But we know that the president has lost as much as 10 points from polling I've seen over the last number of months with independent voters in the wake of the health care and the you know, the town hall meetings and everything that went on. And I think that you're going to have blue dog Democrats, conservative Democrats, if you will, particularly in some of these states like Arkansas, Indiana, where you've got Blanche Lincoln up, you've got Evan Bayh up. I think you're going to see some real concern on the part of those Democrats to try to pass health care now. So I think that this election had huge implications. But the lesson that I'd like the Republicans to learn is not to say, oh, we need to be, we need to go to the quote-unquote right and we need to be exclusive. They need to look at the McDonald model in particular, because he's extremely conservative. I mean, very conservative if you look at his record,
socially
and otherwise, and he just didn't run that way.
Let me just jump in to say you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. We have time for one quick call out now. Let's go to Jack in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Jack.
Hello. I think you're missing the problem altogether.
That's why we asked you.
More conservative is because the American public is under assault. We're heading towards 10% unemployment. We're facing 7 million foreclosure, 7 million more houses in foreclosure. And what's going on? Wall Street, the same people who committed criminal fraud, are paying out the biggest bonuses in some cases they've ever paid out. And so the Democrats are the problem, and the Republicans are the problem. And the reason people are conservative is that they're afraid. We almost had a Great Depression, and nothing is being done to remedy that situation. The exact same things that were going on before Lehman Brothers collapsed are going on right now.
All right, Jack, thank you very much for calling. Ron Elving, a lot of frustration and anger out there.
Yes, and as I mentioned earlier, people are going to push back against whoever is in power, and as long as that anxiety remains, that pushback is going to get stronger.
Ron Elving is NPR's senior Washington editor, and we were also joined by Sophia Nelson, a political analyst and blogger for TheRoot.com and BET.